Well, what a good thought, what a good message and song, amen? Whether we like it or not, the world often judges our Savior by the way we represent Him, amen? Good message and song. Well, tonight we're blessed again to have a little help here in the pulpit tonight. Got Brother Barry Parsons, asking him to come up. He got moved in, joined the church this morning. He thought he was going to work in the morning, but I'm putting him to work tonight. And we want him to come bring the message, a good preacher of the Word of God. Of course, graduated our college here and now coming back to work with us. And we praise the Lord for that. I think they just kind of got in, slept on the floor, whatever they could do last night. But we're glad to have him, and I ask him to go ahead and bring the message for us tonight. And you pray for us as we try to get his bags unpacked, and I don't know if he's going to live at camp or where he's going to live yet. We're joking around a little bit, but we're going to try to take care of him best we can. Good to have you, Brother Barry.
Amen. Thank you so much. Again, I'm here to work, but this is vacation for me, amen. Preacher sent me on vacation. Every time I get to preach, amen, it's vacation. It's when you get to do what God called you to do, amen, it's vacation. I'll tell you what, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles with me and go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, very familiar story tonight in the Bible. And I tell you, the Lord, He's been working on my heart, probably saw it differently than I've ever seen it before. We're going to spend some time in the verses tonight, and I know it's familiar, but if you would, if you just pay attention to the words in the Bible, I tell you that, you know, things that have changed my life have been the words in the Scripture. Every word is there for a reason, and so many times I've read over this passage of Scripture, and never have I really paid a lot of attention to how God called, or the Lord Jesus called, Lazarus his friend. And as we left home, as we got in the car and came down here, we had last Sunday night at our church really kind of doted on us and loved on us, and as they sent us away, and the deacons prayed on us, and they love us. It's where we grew up, amen. And we got married there, and yeah, I got baptized there. Everything happened there for me in my life, amen. And so it was a big step for us to step away and to come here, and we I don't think we could have gone anywhere. This is home again for us, amen. And so you pray for us and pray for our home church, and they got a lot to do there. But I tell you, we left a lot of friends and a lot of people. And as I read through this Scripture, the Lord just dealt with my heart. And tonight for the tape room, as preacher said, the greatest friend would be the title tonight, the greatest friend. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I beg you tonight, dear God, that you would do the work that I cannot do, dear God, that you would just use me tonight as your vessel, as your messenger boy, dear God. I pray that you would, dear Holy Spirit, go into the hearts of the people and that you would do a work that I cannot do. I pray that you would use me as your vessel to preach your word tonight, and just to use me to say what you want me to say. And you use your Scripture, dear God, to convict hearts and to help us to move closer to you tonight. I pray that we would not leave the way we came tonight, that we would leave different, we'd grow closer to you. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 11, in verse number 1, we'll begin reading, but I want to say this. I want to preach on friends, and sometimes the greatest friend that we'll ever have, or the best friend you ever have, is not someone that'll tell you what you want to hear, but someone that'll tell you the truth. Sometimes most people don't count their preacher as their greatest friend in the world, but I'm telling you, a lot of times they won't want to go ask the preacher what he thinks, because they know they're going to get what they need and not what they want to hear. And here in the Scripture, you know, we're going to see Jesus dealing with a family. And I almost talked about it differently, or titled it differently tonight. But I would say, you know, as God deals with us, so many of us, God doesn't just deal with us always on a personal level. Here, He's dealing with a family. Jesus loves a family of people here, and He's dealing with each one, and each one has their own personal needs and desires, and every one of them are different. Some of them have stayed right, some of them have done wrong and gotten right, one of them has gotten sick, and if you really asked all of them around, some of them might have thought that he had done wrong and that's why he was sick or whatever. But Jesus says it was to glorify the Son of God. I mean, I hear to tell you, listen, things that happen in our life, they all happen, amen, to glorify the the Lord. Me even being here, you being here tonight, me being on this planet, me getting saved and the way God has planned it out to leave us here and to work for Him, it's for His glory. It's not to glorify me. It's not to glorify you. It's not to glorify Landmark Baptist Church. It's to glorify Him. Everything is to bring glory to His name. And tonight as we look at this, I want you to just think about this as we preach. I read this little bit of a poem today, and it says, "Friendship lives in the heart, grows in the mind, and travels in the speech, and shows up in our countenance." Listen, even the song tonight was prepared. I believe everything was ordered by the Lord, and just hide me behind the cross. Listen, every day, my countenance, the way I act, the way I speak, listen, people will know whether I love the Lord Jesus Christ just by the way I speak. If He's in my heart, He's going to come out of my mouth when I'm around people. Amen. My countenance will show that there's something different about me. I'm not the same as everybody else. There'll be people walking up to me and saying, "Hey, can I get what you got? Because I don't know what it is, but it's something different than the world has to offer." I'm excited when I think about the fact, listen, Lazarus, man, he got to walk and not just be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but he got to be His friend. Amen. I mean, anytime that you die and Jesus shows up late for your funeral and brings you back to life, hey, you're a good friend. Amen. And He did it for a reason. Because listen, I want to tell you, listen, you know, Lazarus really gets it. I mean, he's as popular as Jesus with the Jews because they want to kill Him after this. Yep. Amen. And I mean, listen, and when God wants to use you so much that people want to kill you, man, you are His friend. Amen. You're walking with Him. Amen. And here in the scripture, as we get into verse 1, He says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." And if you want to know about Mary's life, go back and read that. In that account, all right, and you'll find out just where she came from. "Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are not there 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall..." I tell you what, amen, brother. Last time I tried to bring the house down, amen, but I don't know what that was, amen. All right, let's pick up in verse 13. "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but that thought that he had spoken of, taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go in unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." Now I want to go back, and we're going to get to read the rest of it, but I feel like we're going to go too far if we don't go back. I want to hit some key things, and one of them, I want to show you some things that I saw in the scripture. And one of them, there was a problem, and there was a man that was sick, and his name was Lazarus. And there was a problem that needed fixing. Listen, if you've got a friend and your friend's got a problem, usually you want to help your friend. I've had some friends in my day, and usually if you ask me tonight who is my best friend, I'm ashamed to say that through the ages of my life, I probably would have named somebody other than Jesus in the past. But I will say this, that in those past times of my life, if you were saying an earthly friend, someone I walked and talked with that would help me, I've had different men throughout ages, ones that some are not walking with the Lord anymore, that loved the Lord, and they walked with me for a while, and now they don't walk that way anymore. And if I called them, they're not going to come and help me. But I want to say this, listen, it's good to have good friends, people that you can call upon. Listen, earthly men and and women that you can call upon and, listen, will hazard their lives to help you, to be a part with you. Listen, that is what a church fellowship is. It is having brothers and sisters and believers that get together, and we always make it sound like that that it's for the propagation of the gospel, and it is, to get other people in. But then, listen, the church at Jerusalem, listen, I'm not saying they're a perfect model, but listen, they sold everything they had and joined up together so that each one could have something. Each one could have their needs taken care of. Listen, we could go back a little bit, maybe not sell everything we got, but we could take a page from the church at Jerusalem and love each other enough that if somebody has a need, man, go after it and try to meet it. As a church body, as a group of people, listen, we ought to love each other. And you say, I don't know who sits on this side. Find out. I don't know who sits on this side. I know it's a big auditorium. Amen. But it'd be good. Listen, last time I was here, I talked about brother and sisters praying for you. If that's what you can do, listen, people need prayer. People need it. Listen, prayer changes things. Prayer moves God into action. Jesus is going to pray before Lazarus comes out of the grave. Listen, there was a problem. Usually, every time that something big happens in your life, it usually starts with a problem. Usually starts with something that, you know, you can't see any good in it. You know, as a friend, sometimes I've had to tell people some things, you know, that, you know, you got a problem here. And sometimes they're not ready to accept it yet. As a friend, sometimes I've had to go to them and say that, and I want to help them, but they're not ready for help. So I pray for them. But sometimes people will come and say, I need help with this. I got a problem. It's bigger than me. Could you help me? Listen, most of us live our lives with every once in a while. You know what, preacher? You know, sometimes I think I'm Superman. Amen. And I don't think there's a problem too big that I can't tackle by myself. And that's when I get in real trouble. Amen. That's when I get in bad trouble. Because, listen, anytime I think I'm an island to myself, listen, I can tell you tonight that I'm not standing behind the pulpit because of me. That there wasn't some friends and people that I love, people that I would never have named in my life that are my best friends that have helped me and picked me up and pushed me on. Listen, there's a man tonight that I love, man. He taught my kids in school while we were home. He's a member of my home church. Been there, I mean, since before we ever built the building on the property, that when they were just fixing up an old truck garage and trying to have church in it in the very first years. That man loves me, and I love him. Amen. Listen, but there were years that went by that I didn't know he prayed for me. There were years that went by. He taught me in junior high. You know, the hardest time to teach anybody is in junior high. My boys are in junior high. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. If you've never been through with boys in junior high, amen. I still remember in school, he used to put up with me. We used to have, you ever seen anybody have an epileptic fit? It's not really something that's funny, but you know, when you fake one, it is. Amen. And I mean, me and the other boys in our, we would wait for him to go in the hallway and he'd go use the bathroom. Then he would come back and we'd fall out of our chair and just have a fit in the floor, just see who could. And we would have him rate it to see which one of us was doing the best, amen, which one of us was having the best fit in the floor. And he put up with that foolishness, amen? I mean, he'd be like, that was an 8. That was like totally 8. That was not that great, you know? There was no foam coming out of your mouth or nothing, you know? Amen. But listen, that brother, you know, he has a problem today. He has cancer, and, you know, he's keeping on keeping on for the Lord. He's still teaching every day. He keeps on. His liver's shot, man. And I know. I mean, I remember last year, the year before last, he was ready to just go home to be with the Lord. And somehow he encouraged himself. Amen. And got back on the top side, even in a disease, even with a problem. Friends. If you asked him, it was friends that came by and just pushed him and told him what he needed to hear. You need to get up and you need to go after it. You need to live this life and not decide you're going to die and lay down. Amen. Listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, it always starts with a problem, but I'm so glad I've got friends to help me through it. Amen. I'm so glad that I've got the Lord Jesus on my side. Amen. Tonight. And he says here, I see also that it was for the glory of God. There was a purpose in this thing. If you're writing down, you can say there was a problem and there was a purpose. And that purpose was right there in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Listen, I tell you, listen, every time there's a problem in your life, God can get the glory. He might not have brought it into your life, but he can get the glory out of it. Amen. That's why Romans 8:28 is still in the book. That's why we still can take courage when we think about, boy, in any problem, any struggles, man. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy tonight, but I'm here to tell you, you ain't never had no problems. I have. Amen. Listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, there was a purpose, and it helps us to say, Lord, whatever your purpose is, let it be done in my life. You know, if you're looking for God to get his purpose done, it gets done quicker when you're looking to get the purpose done and not just get through the problem. I want to say, he says here in verse number 11, it was personal. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Listen, Jesus was a friend to Lazarus. You can read through the scriptures and find that out, but you can see here as he approaches this time where he's really coming to a place where everybody thinks he showed up a day late and a dollar short. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, there are times and troubles. I was in Bible college here, and I was trying to sell my house. And I had a house, and I had it all planned out. The problem was I needed to sell my house. And so I sold all kinds of stuff and remortgaged everything, and I had a plan, man. I had it all worked out. I was going to fix this thing. And we mortgaged everything together, and we were going to just sell the house and pay for it all, and we'd be good. And I'd sold a camper. I just bought this camper. I sold it and kept the cash so that I could keep paying the house payment until the Lord let me sell that house. Amen. And I continued to pay that payment. Well, first semester went by, and my house was still there on the market. Amen. And the money, I had one more payment in the bank in there. And that's when I said, Lord, my plan ain't working. Amen. This house ain't selling. I fixed it up the best I could. I mean, I made it nice. Somebody ought to want to live there. Somebody ought to want to buy that house for what I got it up for. And man, I decided that, man, this is it right here. I've got this thing, you know. And we had a buyer that was interested, and then we come home. So it's Christmas time, signed the papers, and it was going to be great. It was my last payment, and I was going to pay it off, and it was going to be good. My plan had worked. Amen. Within the month, we come through halfway through the month, and this person hadn't signed his side of the papers. Papers were drawn up. They had already entered the contract with us, but they were dragging their feet for whatever reason. And I really got serious with the Lord. Lord, this is a problem I can't fix. I ain't got money, and I can't make money. I can't print it like everybody else. Amen. In the U.S. government. And I need this money. I need it. I need you to take care of this. I'm going to lose my house. I don't know if you want me to lose it, but you're either going to pay the payment, you're going to take care of whatever you're going to do. And and God took care of it. Man, we had those people call us, and they paid our house payment. The realtors called and paid my house payment. When does that happen? Anybody ever dealt with a realtor? Amen. And amen. If you're a realtor, I'm sorry. Amen. So, amen. You got problems too, I know. Amen. And so we see the problem and the purpose, and we see it's personal. But not only that, we see in the scripture here that, man, this is a powerful time for everybody that's involved. And we're going to skip the center verses here. But I want you to know this. Listen, that even when you see things and there's problems and there's a purpose and it's personal, there's going to be people that throw a wet blanket on you trying to follow the Lord. I mean, even in the scripture here, it talks about Thomas, and he's like, let us go there so we can die too. Amen? I mean, listen, there's people like that. Amen? You know, I undoubtedly, if I talk to enough people in here tonight, man, I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about the work. I'm excited about getting to it. But I guarantee you, if I went through everybody, somebody would tell me about a problem. This is why it can't get done. This is, brother, we're all going to die. Thanks for coming to join us. Amen. That's how it would be. I guarantee you, that's how it would be. Listen, you know, it takes so many more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Amen. It's just time to get on the top side. It's time to realize, listen, God said we're going down here to do something. He didn't say that we're all going down there to die. I think Jesus would have told them, listen, we're going down here to drink the Kool-Aid, and it's going to be done. We're all of us going home. Amen. He would have told them if that was what was going on, but he didn't say that. He said, I'm going down there to take care of Lazarus. We're going down there to wake him out of sleep. He didn't say we're all going down there to die. He didn't even tell him yet that he was dead. Listen, I want to tell you that, man, listen, it says he hadn't told him that this is the time that we're going to have our end. You know, I believe that God has ordained some days of our lives. Amen. I believe that he's ordained and set some things. Man, I look back at Joshua and some men in the Bible that God gave them some promises, and they could have courage and some valor because he knew that God had called them to do this work. And man, they were bulletproof as long as they stayed in his will and did what he said. Man, I can't imagine what it was like to be Joshua, just to run into battle and know, man, there's not a man that can stand before me. Yeah. Can you imagine how crazy you would run into a battle when you knew there wasn't nobody that could cut you down? I mean, just how, I mean, I'm not talking about acting crazy and doing things. I'm talking about just attacking with everything that you have, knowing that this is the purpose that you were made for, that this is what God had called you to, and that you were going to, I mean, you were just going to attack it. Do you realize that God has called every believer and commanded us to go into the fray and win people? Amen. Listen, that's what we're here for. Amen. And when we're doing his will, listen, I believe this wholeheartedly, man. Sometimes we're scared. And I know that some of you be like, don't go down on this street. Amen. Amen. I'm not called to go down that street. And I believe sometimes, amen. And as many sirens as I heard last night, I don't know what was going on, but something was going on. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, listen, God has a purpose for every one of us. And there is a problem. The world is lost and on its way to hell. And man, just like Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he's paid a payment. And listen, he's going to say, I am the resurrection here in a few verses. If that don't get you, I mean, if that don't get you excited, listen, I mean, if that doesn't get you excited, listen, out of all the I ams, amen, some of you are thinking about eating again, amen. And you're like, you want him to say, I am the bread of life, amen. And you want him to say something like that because you're hungry tonight. But listen, I'm here to tell you as a Christian, knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven, that listen, even if I do get put in the ground, I'm coming out. To be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the one that I like best, if you want my favorite and you can jot it down, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus. That's who he said he was. Amen. And that's what he is today. He said it that he was, but he is. And he's the first one that did it. Amen. And he showed a picture of it in Lazarus. He said, listen, let me show you what kind of power I got. And as we read on, I want you to see, come jump with me if you would tonight, if you would just jump down just a few verses with me. And I want you to see, it says, he comes to a place where it was personal, but now he's prayerful. It's going to be a time when it's getting even more personal. Look at verses number 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, you know Mary and Martha are sisters because both of them said the same thing. In verse 33, it said, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Listen, I don't know how many times that we've marked down some. John even talks about the emotions that Jesus felt towards him. But here we have the world giving Jesus a testimony of how good a friend and how much he loved Lazarus on him. We have the Jews here saying, behold how he loved him. Listen, you know, if you know the Jewish culture, they have all these people that come around and mourn, and some of them are doing it, you know, sincerely, and some of them are just doing it, you know, just to be there to kind of support the family, if you understand the Jewish culture. And that's why it was surprising to them that Jesus showed up 4 days later. And when he's talking about it, and he's talked to Mary, and he's talked to Martha, he finally just can't hold it anymore. I believe Jesus was a man's man. Yep. Amen. Amen. And if you ever get around me, man, we were leaving our home church. I got up there to try to talk to our church last Sunday night. Man, I just couldn't hold it anymore. I just busted loose crying. I mean, I couldn't hardly talk. I couldn't get it out because my heart was just in my heart. I love those people. Listen, I believe Jesus, man, I believe he held it in as long as he could. He had been there. He talked to Mary, talked to Martha, trying to stay strong. I believe he was wrapped in flesh, just like you or me. And then he just busted loose crying because his heart, man, his heart was so heavy for the pain that they were feeling in their problem. Knowing what he was about to do was going to be a great victory. It didn't change the fact that he understood how they felt because he felt it himself. Listen, there's so many people that talk about Jesus and they get all kinds of things saying, and they don't believe that he was tempted in every point as we are, and just talking about how could he know our sympathy? He was God and man. Listen, if you want some good picture of Jesus knowing what we feel, Jesus knew what it was like to lose a friend. I mean, heartbroken. He made it. Listen, he knew he was coming back. He knew that this was not the end of Lazarus's life, but still, he was heartbroken for the people that were weeping there and for what they were feeling, and he wept with them. Listen, there was no need for him to weep knowing that he was about to raise Lazarus up. But he was brokenhearted. Listen, you know that I can only imagine there have been some times in my life, and no doubt over a crowd this size, there have been some loss and some times when you thought, I mean, it wasn't the end of the world. You knew that Jesus was still on the throne and things were going to be all right, but you were broken. You were just broken over a situation. You were broken over the circumstances. You were just, listen, and sometimes I've been like that. And the greatest friends I have, sometimes they could fix my problem at the time, but they just sat down and wept with me for a little while. They didn't try to come in there and tell me how to do it. They didn't come in there and tell me, you know, listen, this is what you've been doing wrong. Or they didn't come in and say, listen, this is how, let me give you this and take care of the situation. They just sat with me for a little while. Listen, I believe that the greatest comfort that Mary and Martha felt until they saw Jesus raise their brother from the dead was realizing that Jesus loved him too. And loved him as much. You know, if you've got brothers and sisters in this life, you know, I've got a brother and I got a sister. There have been times that I've lifted them up in prayer. There's been times that I've been heartbroken because of their situations in life. Not necessarily just because they're out of the will of God or somewhere like that, but just because of they're trying to sell a house or something happened to one of their kids or just problems. And I've wept with them. We've been heartbroken together. But what a comfort it is to know that we love the same Jesus. Amen. And when I read in the scripture and I realize it's not just for me, it's for them too. I love the fact that I can go to the scripture and tell my sister, hey, I got comfort in this situation. Maybe it'd help you too. Listen, we've got a wonderful book, and listen, we've got a wonderful Savior, great friend that wants to speak to us. So many times, one of the missing keys of us realizing the friend that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we speak to him and speak to him and speak to him, but we feel like he never speaks back. It's because we don't go to his word and let him talk to us. This book speaks to me, friend. Not that I hear all kinds of voices, amen, but that I read the words. God penned this for me. It's a book. This book is alive. This book, this same area, passage of scripture that I've read so many times, and I've preached it before, this time, I saw that God is a great friend to me. I hope tonight, listen, as we look, I want you to look just a little bit more here. I want you to just see with me here a couple more things. We see that he is personal, but we see that he's powerful. He says in verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, friend, I don't know about you, but that excites me just reading that area of scripture. Amen. It just excites me because I realize there's going to be a day he's going to call. If he don't come back soon, he's going to call my name. One day, come forth. That's encouraging. Just reading the scripture and just realizing he's the resurrection, but then looking at it from a perspective of a friendship, you see that he's powerful. And he says, take the stone away. And even then, those that were closest to him were like, what are you doing? I know that you can make the blind to see, and I know that you can make the dumb to hear, and you can make the dumb speak, and you've healed people's legs and arms, and you've done some things. You've changed water into wine, and you have done some great things, but don't roll the stone back because he stinks. Amen. Again, I know what they were talking about because I live with junior high boys. Amen. And he said, do not roll the stone away. They said that. Don't do that. He said, roll it away. They said, whoa, 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 whoa. He is, you know, I know you're here and we appreciate you weeping with us. And we, you know, there's a lot of people that come this far with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get to the heart of the problem. They'll get to the tomb, and all they need to do to fix this thing is to roll the stone back when he tells them to. You know, it's a simple, simple process. Usually, anytime we have a problem, I've found in my own life, there's usually a simple explanation. It's something I put in that needs to come out that shouldn't be there. Listen, you know, Jesus knew that Lazarus was alive. Not like they thought. I mean, they knew they buried him. He was dead. Amen. But he knew what was about to happen. And he said, roll the stone away. A live man don't belong to be in there. You know, I believe so many times in our own lives, there's just simple, simple things the Word of God will tell us to fix our big problems, things that are huge to us. But we say, Lord, don't mess with that. Lord, that stinks. Don't dig that up. Lord, don't pull that up. I buried that thing deep. I've hit it where people can't get to it. People don't see it. And I don't go digging there. Don't go rolling that back. Whoa, let's deal with these little outside things. Let's not deal with the heart of the problem. Listen tonight, man. God is a great friend to us, and he tells us exactly what we need to do. And here it was so simple. Take away the stone. Roll it back. Get it out of the way. So many times, listen, God is a blessing. And I know I've heard all kinds of preachers preach about scars that we get in our past and things in our lives. But listen, I believe that God can roll back some things on us. I'm not saying I won't wear the scars, but I'm here to tell you, I'm a testimony in my own. Listen, I am excited about being able to serve the Lord when people didn't think that it could be done in my life. I surrendered as a young man and took off and went to Bible college and said, it was not for me. And I came home and I said, I know what God's called me to do. He's called me to preach in junior church and in the jail and places like that. Not to be a preacher, you know, not to stand in front of people in the church house and preach. And man, God broke my heart. I mean, he just got a hold of my heart in about 2002. And I said, Lord, if you can make everything happen, if you can roll enough stones back to get me to a place where I could serve you, I'll give you everything I've got. I'll give you all of it. Well, let the flesh die and you can make me alive. Amen. Amen. You know what? He just let me know about every stone. He took them in order, and there was never a stone that was so big that I couldn't roll it out of the way. He always, step by step, built my strength and built me to a place. And some of it stunk. Honestly, some of it was things that I didn't want to deal with, not humanly speaking, but God dealt with my life and helped me. Listen, if you're here tonight, you've got a testimony like that. That's something to praise the Lord about. That's not something to puff yourself up. So many times we come into church and it's very easy to come in and say, look at where I am today, instead of looking back at all the times that I had to roll a stone out of the way and God had to fix it. God had to take care of it. He helped me and rolled some things back. Listen, he says here, I see it as powerful. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, I remember a day when we come all the way full circle for this thing. I remember a day that God was calling my name over and over again. And I wasn't as smart as Lazarus. I didn't come out the first time. Amen. My mom said it took me a long time to even be born. Amen. I didn't want nothing of it. I didn't want to come into this world. Amen. But you know, God called and called and called, and I was in a church from 5 to 15, and finally one day at a youth meeting, I turned loose of the pew and I come to the front and I got saved because I heard him call me, Barry, come forth. I heard him say, why don't you change your destination? Why don't you get rid of this, come from death into life? Why don't you get rid of the old dead man and become a new man? Why don't you get rid of what you got and I'll give you something better. Listen, the world tries to mimic everything that God has planned, and they will tell you that they've got something better. People will tell you they've got something better to preach. They've got something better to holler out about. But listen, there's nothing better than to rear back and to just as a friend say, listen, I know a friend that's better than any other friend, and he's my friend, and he saved me from an old devil's hell. And he changed my life and made me new. I don't know what I'd be doing if it wasn't for Jesus. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I got something to shout from the mountaintops and on the street corner, and anybody else that'll stop and listen to me, I'll tell them about the very best friend that I ever have met, and the one that chased me down and told me what I needed. And finally, when I was willing to listen, He was willing to give me what I needed. He had paid for it. He loved me, listen, before I was even born. He loved me before I ever loved him. What a friend we have in Jesus. Listen, Lazarus knew what that friend was like. Listen, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he didn't leave him there, friend. He was all wrapped up in old stinking grave clothes. And I believe that he made him anew, but I believe the grave clothes had taken on some things. I believe they had taken on a good stench. He said, cut them things off of him. Clean him up. You know, God, he saves us. But you know, God didn't just save me. He cleaned me up. He put me in a place with pure doctrine, the good word of God, a place where I could learn and love God. Listen, I wouldn't love Jesus near as much as I do tonight if it hadn't have been for a good preacher that taught me the word of God and loved on me. And man, when I was ready to do, man, when he said, why don't you, will you go up there and lead some singing today? And I'd go up there and lead singing. Man, I remember we used to have neighborhood Bible clubs, and we had this bus. If y'all would laugh if you saw it, it was an old junky bus, and we had this tarp, an old blue tarp, man. We made like a tent and tied it on that bus and pushed the windows up and kicked some legs under it. And we had a bunch of kids. We'd go town, all the little teeny places, all on our bus routes. And we would have a week of vacation Bible school, because we, instead of bringing them to the church, we just did it right on their bus route. And man, we went out there, and I remember one week, man, we had old Goliath, our assistant pastor. He was already tall as, I mean, he was 6'6 or something, old beanpole. And he got some drywall stilts. Some lady in the church made him pants long enough to cover that mess. Amen. He'd get on them drywall stilts and walk around like Goliath. And I was David, and I was out there with my sling, and I couldn't never hit him, but I tried. Amen. And it would fly by, and he'd go, and he'd fall back. And that was, I don't know how he did that. I love that brother today. I thought, brother, how in the world do you not have a bad limp from falling off them drywall stilts day after day after day? Amen. But you know what? Listen, I love that God wants to clean us up. He doesn't just want to leave. He's not in the business of saving us. He's in the business of cleaning us up and using us in his work. You say, well, Brother Parsons, God's not going to use me the way he uses you. You know, I found he don't use anybody exactly the same way. That's why he made you like he did. That's why you got the story that you do. That's why he gave you the parents that you got. You say, I don't understand what God's got going on here. I don't know. I don't understand what he's trying to do. Most of us don't. I can tell you I didn't. When I was a teenage boy, all I ever wanted to do, I had talked one of my best friends in the world. I decided me and him were going to be hog farmers. Amen. That was top of the world to me. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with being a hog farmer. Y'all like bacon. Everything is better with bacon. Amen. Amen. And plus, the Muslims don't want nothing to do with you. Amen. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, I was ready to be a hog farmer, and I had it all figured out, man. We were going to grow a bunch of hogs and corn and everything else. That's all I ever wanted to do with my life, and be a good daddy and a good husband. That's not what God had for me. And I finally got to a place in my life, I wanted what he wanted more than what I wanted. Listen tonight, I'll tell you this. Would you turn with me to John chapter 15 and we'll finish. John chapter 15, I just want to read a couple of verses. We're talking about friends tonight. Verse 9, if you would. John chapter 15, you're right there in the book. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Listen. We have a Bible that God has revealed himself entirely, his whole plan. Everything he wants to get done is right here in this book. And all we got to do is read it and understand it. He's spoken to us and given us, I mean, revealed everything that's going to happen and what's going on in this life for us. All we got to do is look at it and understand it and say, hey, God, I want to be a part of that. I want to be this. I want to do this command that you had. Let me grow in this area. Let me be this. Let me do that. When we realize what God wants, you know, my friends, sometimes my friend will have, I had a birthday, and it was my 40th one. I've revealed it all to you. I know y'all thought I was older than that. But anyway, I had a 40th birthday, And man, people came out, people poured out. We had all kinds of people. And then my wife, you know, she loves me and she wanted to just, you know, really give me a good birthday. And she said, listen, does anybody want to speak about Barry? I said, oh my, no, you know. Some of these people know me a long time, amen. And I've been out, my preacher in our town has been, I mean, he's been preaching. He pastored our church for 30 years, and he went to Bible college in that time. He'd been saved a long time. I knocked the door of an old farm lady one time, knocking one of them dirt roads, and she said, I remember your preacher before he got saved. I said, I don't want to hear about it. Amen? He's my preacher. Amen. But, you know, some of them people had known me from a very long time, and it blessed my heart how gracious my friends were to me. Some of them could have brought up things that weren't things that the Lord that the Lord would have been proud of. But they loved me. Listen tonight. You know, I was reading a story about a Confederate spy, amen. And he was on the right side. But anyway, we lost states' rights, amen. Anyway, he was a Confederate spy. And so he was on the Union Army. He had infiltrated the Union Army. And he had some sensitive papers on the Union side of it, you know, and he was trying to get them to Confederate hands. And his name was Sam Davis. Sam Davis was not a very high-ranking official in the Union Army, and they knew that there was no way that he could have them plans unless somebody higher up had given them to him. And Sam Davis was questioned and questioned and beaten and questioned. Finally, he was sentenced. He was court-martialed and blindfolded and standing on the, you know, he's about to be shot. He was standing out there. And the captain walked up and he said, I'm going to give you one last chance. If you tell us who it was that delivered these papers to you, we'll let you go free. Sam Davis said, if I had 1,000 lives to give, I would lose them all for my friend. Listen tonight, is Jesus your friend? I know, listen, the scripture proves out that he is a friend to me. He's delivered me a great, great blessed letter. That this old world, listen, between this book and what it says, they'd line us up one day for a firing squad. When the question was posed to you, would you give your life for your friend? Listen, every one of us, every day are faced with that question. Will we live or die for Jesus? Will we lay down on him today or will we live for him? Man, with camp coming up, can you imagine the opportunity it is for everyone, everybody that's involved with it, to give everything they got each day for somebody else? You know, I remember when I was a kid, we had camp. And I'm so thankful that there were days that people gave everything so that I could be here tonight for the Lord Jesus. They didn't give it to me. Because if they gave it to me, they'd have been like that knuckleheaded Barry. He'd put chewing gum in my shoe again. Or he put shaving cream in my pillowcase or whatever it was at camp. But listen, I'm here to tell you, there were some people that gave it all for Jesus each and every day. And it changed my life. Because I saw in them what I wanted to be. Listen, tonight, would you be that for somebody else tonight? Would you live for Jesus? Just look for him and just say, man, I'm going to do whatever you got for me. Whatever you've commanded me to do tonight.